would like to think that if the government is told, hey, stop doing something, that's bad, and then they say that they'll stop. But back in 2021, there was an ombudsperson's report here in BC about keeping youth in custody in this province, a report that made 26 recommendations. And everybody agreed, yes, these are good recommendations, they should be done. But now there is a follow-up report, and it turns out 3 years later, there is still a lot of work to do. Jay Chalk is the ombudsperson of BC and joins us now. Thank you so much for being here.
Good morning, Simi.
So what did you take a look at with this latest report?
So, as you say, this report is what we call a monitoring report, where we look back at what public authorities have done when they've accepted an ombudsperson recommendation in an earlier report. And as you say, in 2021, we released a report that was the result of a three-year study of the use of what's known as separate confinement, primarily at Burnaby Youth Custody, although at the time also Prince George Youth Custody, that's a center that's now closed. And separate confinement is what another correction system called solitary or segregation, but it involves where someone is in a cell by themselves and doesn't have daily programming with other people in custody, doesn't eat their meals with anybody. They're all on their own. They receive their meals through a meal slot in the door. And so they're very much kept alone, and that's why we called the report Alone. And what we found was very long periods of time in separate confinement, 37 days, 41 days, 47 days straight for a teenager. And we thought that when we looked at the reasons, what we saw was mostly these were Indigenous girls. All of them were trauma victims, and we thought a mental health answer in those circumstances was the right answer. So moving them to, say, a youth mental health facility such as the Maples was a better environment for them than being at Burnaby Youth Custody. So we made those recommendations. The minister of the day, Minister Dean, accepted those, and the ministry committed to implementing them. And so then this report 3 years later is to go back and look at that.
Okay, because that all sounded positive at the time, right? They recognized, yes, these are good ideas, we're going to do them. So let's get to the bad news. 3 years later, how many of these things are they doing?
Yeah, so that's the problem. So what we found was that there were three of the 26 were fully implemented. We thought that the actual separate confinement unit, the physical place that was being used, was quite ill-suited and quite dangerous, actually, for youth in custody. There are lots of instances of problems that had arisen. So we suggested a security and detailed review of that unit, and that has resulted in the decommissioning of the unit. And so now when separate confinement occurs, it doesn't occur there. And so that was one thing that was done that was good. The other thing was that some youth were being placed in separate confinement due to a suspicion that they were bringing contraband into the facility, secreted in a body cavity, and so they would be placed there as a precaution. We pointed out that there's technology that's used in many other custodial facilities known as an ion scanner that can quickly determine that, and that you don't need to put people in separate confinement. You can simply determine whether or not your concern is valid. They've put that, they have an ion scanner there now, and that's eliminated that reason. So those are good changes to have made, but our real fundamental concern was that the law had no limit on how long people could be placed in separate confinement, and we use the international standards adopted at the United Nations of 22 hours for youth, with a strict cap, no extensions beyond that. And we said it should be outlawed completely for particularly vulnerable youth, youth with mental health needs, youth under 16 years of age. It shouldn't be allowed at all. And so that was our main and starting point recommendation, and that hasn't happened.
3 out of 26 does not sound very good when you talk about something as important as this, because we're talking about young people here.
Yeah, and so one of the other things that's really important to think about is that these are people who are way out of the sight of justice. Not only are they in custody, but they are, as it were, in the back of the custody facility. They're a long way away from people who can ensure that their rights are being protected on a day-to-day basis. So one of the things we suggested was that every time someone is placed in separate confinement, there should be an immediate notice to the representative for children and youth, and where the child is in the guardianship of the public guardian or trustee, a notice should go to them as well. And the ministry 3 years ago said yes. They thought that was those were good suggestions, but since then have said no. They're not prepared to do that. They could do that through a simple regulation passed pursuant to the Federal Youth Criminal Justice Act that the province can pass, but they're putting up roadblocks on doing that. So independent oversight is really critical to ensuring that there's a system of checks and balances.
Has there been any indication with this report then that they go, okay, yeah, we're working on this? Like, what has their reaction been?
So we, in our report, we talk about what we heard from the ministry, and so it's all there. More recently, though, when there was a change of minister and deputy, we provided them with the draft report and said, "You're new in your job. We want to give you a chance to address these concerns and hopefully result in a more a positive approach." And so I gave them an extra period of time after Minister Lohr and the new deputy were appointed, and they came back, and it's in our reproduce it in our report by a letter. They said, "Well, now we're facing litigation about all the same matters that you raised, and so we can't talk about it." And so that absence of information really, makes one really worried, because, of course, this whole issue is really about independent, transparent oversight of a custodial system that few people have access to.
Also, you raise problems that they're trying to deal with. They wouldn't know about these or be concerned about them without your help. And now they don't want to talk to you about it?
Yeah, and I think that really does point out the nature of the importance of monitoring. I think what we would all hope is that when a minister of the crown says we're going to go do something, that we can all go on to something else, confident in the knowledge that the issue is being addressed. But what we have found over the years is that it's really important to make sure that that's not just release day public relations. We're going to deal with this problem, and so we make we have to spend taxpayer dollars on going back and trying to figure out whether or not those promises have been fulfilled. So, it's frustrating for us, but it's also, we know, part of ensuring real accountability for the reports we do, because ombudsperson recommendations and my recommendations are recommendations. The government is free to say no, but if they say no, then they're engaging in that public debate about whether to do something. But when they say yes, we should all have the confidence that they're actually going to deliver.
And that does not seem to be happening here. Okay, so we will wait to find out more about that. Listen, thank you so much for talking to us about it this morning.
Anytime, Simi.
Appreciate that. Jay Chalk is the ombudsperson of BC. I mean, he nailed it when he said that, right? These reports come out, whether it's from the ombudsperson, whether it's from the auditor general, whether it's from the representative for children and youth. And the standard government response, and I'm talking any government, regardless of political party, is to say, oh, we hear this. Yes, these are good recommendations, and we're going to take a look at them, because Jay Chalk is absolutely right, kind of diffuses things on the day out. But the point is, as he is doing, to go back to something that they did 3 years ago to say, all right, you said you were going to do these things. Have you done them? And they have found that no, only 3 out of the 26 recommendations from this important report have actually been addressed, which seems kind of unacceptable, doesn't it? So anyway, we'll put in a request to talk to the now minister in charge of this file. That would be Grace Lohr. Find out what they have to say about it, because keeping youth in custody, that seems to be an important issue that should be addressed, doesn't it?
Canada may be known for its landscapes and friendly people, but beneath the surface lies a darker side of crime, history, and the paranormal. Since 2017, the award-winning Dark Poutine podcast has explored the shadowy corners of the Great White North and beyond, delivering chilling tales from a uniquely Canadian perspective. Hosted by Mike Brown and Matthew Stockton, with over 300 episodes and fresh releases every Monday, Dark Poutine is your weekly ticket to the creepier side of Canada. Listen to Dark Poutine on Apple, Spotify, Amazon Music, or wherever you get your podcasts.